from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord. So, did everyone enjoy their Christmas presents last year? I know one priest in the Philippines who was so excited about his Christmas present that he actually took it with him to Christmas Eve Mass in the Philippines. It was a hoverboard, and he rode it during Mass while he sang a Christmas song. Have you seen the YouTube video of him? Do you know what happened next? He got suspended by his bishop for being irreverent at Mass. So don't you dare tell the bishop about my Yoda voice that I use in my sermons. Father John might be taking a little unplanned vacation. On the other hand, last week I read a small book called The Ultimate Gift about another unusual present. A very rich man named Red Stevens dies and leaves his immense wealth to his greedy and selfish relatives. But to one nephew, Jason Stevens, he leaves what he calls the ultimate gift. That gift consists of teaching Jason over the course of 12 months that the best gift is not money, but rather the gift of love and the gift of laughter, the gift of friendship, the gift of gratitude, even the gift of problems, and the gift of work. These gifts bring true meaning to life and make life rewarding. At one point in the story, Jason disgustedly cries, "Why couldn't he just leave me money like everyone else?" And a friend replies, "He loved you too much to do that." You see, gifts given with love are not always the ones we would wish for, but they are always the best gifts for us, the ones we need the most. Today we celebrate the feast of the Epiphany, and three magi, or wise men, come bearing gifts for Jesus, the newborn king. We're all familiar with the gifts that they brought: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But do you know what each of them mean or symbolize?
Obviously, the gold means Jesus is a king. The frankincense means that he's a priest, like priests use incense at the Mass. And the myrrh, that means that Jesus will be sacrificed, a saving victim for his people. Myrrh is an ointment used to embalm people after they die. I'm sure the baby Jesus looked at the third magi who brought the myrrh and felt like saying, "Why couldn't he just give me money like everybody else?" And the wise man would have replied, because the wise man loved Jesus too much to do that. Indeed, of all the gifts he received that first Christmas, the myrrh was the most valuable because it prepared Jesus for his ultimate destiny, death on the cross. Just like Red Stevens' gift for his nephew was worth more than millions of dollars. Sometimes the most unwelcome gift is the most valuable one. Did you know that down in the South, there are many churches known as answer back churches. When the preacher says something in these churches, the congregation naturally replies or answers back. Well, one Sunday, a preacher was speaking on what it would take for the church to become better. And so he said, "If this church is to become better, it must take up its bed and walk." The congregation answered back, "Let it walk, preacher, let it walk." Encouraged by their response, he went further. "If this church is going to become better, it will have to throw aside its hindrances and run." The congregation replied, "Let it run, preacher, let it run." Now really getting his message across, he spoke stronger. "If this church wants to become great, it will have to take up wings and fly." All shouted, "Let it fly, preacher, let it fly." And the preacher got louder. "If this church is going to fly, it will cost money." And the congregation answered, "Let it walk, preacher, let it walk." Congregation gave that preacher an unwelcome gift that day. But don't you dare give me the same gift. Now let me pose my original question to you again. Did everyone enjoy their Christmas gifts? Let me ask it another way. Did you get a gift that you did not particularly enjoy? Maybe because it was unexpected or unwelcome. And I don't just mean at Christmas, but throughout the year, whenever someone gives us something and receive a gift that we didn't particularly like. My friends, I would suggest to you that those unexpected, unusual, and even unpleasant gifts, like Red Stevens' gift of work and problems, are in fact the best gifts of all. I was counseling a father recently who was struggling with shouldering the responsibility of raising his children, and I suggested this to him. Maybe the times that you said no to your children, even though it made them unhappy, were the times that helped them the most, even more than the times that you gave them what they wanted. The unwelcome gift is the best one. In a documentary on Steve Jobs lately, the co-founder of Apple Computers, he apparently did not allow his children to have iPhones or mobile devices at the dinner table. This is Steve Jobs. But rather, he insisted that they have family conversations. They look at each other and talk to each other. Steve Jobs was like the wise man who gave his children the gift of a little myrrh. Myrrh Christmas. Helping them to die to their desires. Have you heard of Ethan Couch lately? The teenager who killed 4 people while driving drunk. He convinced the judge not to convict him because he suffered from affluenza, meaning he suffered from too much privilege stemming from his wealthy family. Of course, you don't have to be a teenager to contract affluenza, to be selfish and spoiled and slovenly. I mean, who gives the gift of myrrh at a baby shower? That would be someone wise. Someone who is inoculating that baby against affluenza. As we begin the year 2016, we ask God to bless the coming year. And I'm sure He has lots of blessings in store for this year. Those blessings will come in all shapes and sizes and colors. But don't be surprised if some of God's gifts aren't exactly what you would have expected or wished for. But they will be exactly what you needed. Maybe the best gift that Filipino priest got for Christmas this year was not the hoverboard, but rather the suspension. Mar Christmas. Praise be Jesus Christ.